I'm supposed to make a few announcements. On the 5th, they're going to have a teen activity. On the 9th, we're going to have a men's prayer breakfast. On the 12th, Ladies of Faith, 7 o'clock. On the 22nd, there's a teen fundraiser, spaghetti dinner, glory. And the 26th, the Wiser Society is going to meet at Melody's Restaurant at 11 o'clock. I'm telling you, I like this Wiser Society stuff. We do enjoy eating. I hate announcements. I've never enjoyed them at all, even when I was pastoring. I'd try to get somebody else to do it. We're going to have fun tonight. Contradictions. You know, I've talked to people here. I talk to people in churches all over, and I get questions, and I see people that are so discouraged. They read this verse, and it seems to say something that this didn't say, and they throw up their hands and they say, "Well, what am I going to do? I mean, you know, well, you know, is it? Can I trust the Word of God? I mean, can you know?" And boy, that gets you to doubting your faith. And then they'll turn on the stupid TV or the radio or get on the internet and they'll listen to this preacher and that preacher and this preacher and all of them saying the different stuff, and it gets discouraging. And it discourages God's people. I wish we'd shut off all these internet preachers. I really do. When I was teaching Bible college, while I'm teaching Bible college, students are there on the internet checking out what I'm saying with other preachers and stuff like this. That's malignant dumb. I mean, that's like trying to raise kids. I'll take one thing from Pastor, I'll take one thing from Grandma, I'll take one thing from Aunt Susie, I'll take one thing from radio preacher so-and-so, and I'm going to try to raise my kids like that. It's not going to work. You'll be so confused. And so as I was going through some of this and getting all these questions and different things like that, never ever question the Word of God. Okay? You might not understand something, that's okay. But never question the Word of God, because it is right whether you understand it or not. The Bible will never contradict itself. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. So when the Holy Spirit is the author, He's not going to write something down here and tell you something else over here. That's why you can throw 90% of the charismatic movement out just simply on that one thing. They'll come in and they'll say, "Well, God told me to speak in tongues. God told me to do this." Well, funny thing, God said woman's supposed to keep silent. And the issue was the tongues. So that shuts off 90% of it right there. God doesn't tell you one thing here and tell you a different thing there. He never contradicts himself. Now, this is one of the reasons what I'm doing tonight. I want you to see how important it is to have a pastor. A pastor that you can have confidence in. A pastor that is serious about studying and preaching the Word of God. So we're going to have some fun. Some people say that the account of Paul's conversion, he started into that this morning in the message there, that Paul's conversion contradicts the other accounts of Paul's conversion. And they start bad-mouthing the Bible, and they say the Bible has mistakes, and if because there's contradictions here, well, then Luke couldn't be the author because he said one thing in Luke, and now it's a different thing here in Acts. And so they say, well, he can't be the author. And then if there's mistakes or there's contradictions, then that casts doubt on the Word of God. And when you have doubt on the Word of God, now you start doubting your own faith. And it just mushrooms and keeps on going. The problem I want to talk to you tonight about, did the men that was with Paul at his conversion hear a voice or not? The problem comes from two verses. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 7. He says in verse number 7, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless." What's it say? Hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So what did they do? They had this light there. That's no problem. But it says they heard a voice. Okay? That's pretty plain, pretty cut and dried, right? Turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Look with me in verse number 9. Paul's given his testimony, and it says, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." We got a problem? Do we have a contradiction that disproves the authenticity of the Word of God? One, it said, they heard him. The other one says they didn't hear him. We face this on the mission field constantly with Muslims, because they will find all these little nuances and all the things that seem to contradict, and they will confront you in front of people and a bunch of people and say, "Okay, what is it?" Well, if you haven't studied it out, you'll sit there looking like a fool. And not, you're wondering in your own mind, "Boy, I must not know the Word of God, because I should have the answer." So if I ask you what the answer is, does the Bible contradict itself? Now, if I ask you to prove that no, that's a different story. Because all of us would say the Bible don't contradict itself. But it's very point blank, isn't it? So what we have to do is we have to study a little bit. And what we'll find and what we're going to find is that these two verses are not contrary. They are perfectly correct. And they actually complement each other. Now, in both passages, now we're going to get in, going to have some fun. I know you don't know Greek and all this, that, and the other, but we're going to do a little Greek tonight, and I'm going to impress you with all that my wife knew when she wrote the outline. In both passages, the same Greek word for "hear" is used, both in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. It's the word "akouo." Okay? Akouo, it's where we get our word acoustic. Now, this it all comes from the same root word in the English. So to understand these passages, we have to understand the word "here" is used in different manners or different ways throughout the Bible. And so I'm going to show you some of these ways, and it'll start making sense. The first one, go ahead and put that first one up there, fellas. How we commonly think as hearing, okay? How we commonly think as hearing. Now, notice in that verse, Mark 7:37, "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." All right? The way we usually use it is someone can physically hear. They hear sounds. We're not talking about speech. We're talking about they can hear music. They can hear voices. They can hear birds chirping. They can hear. It's a physical being able to hear. That's what he's saying here. He makes the deaf to hear. They could not hear. Now they can physically hear. All right? That's the first way this word is used. The second way is to focus or listen by paying attention. It has nothing to do with hearing. The hearing comes later. But the focus or the paying attention is found in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to. Guess what that word is? Akouo. It's exactly the same word, but they translated it to give audience to because of the context of what it's saying here. It says, then all the multitude kept silence and give audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So it's the same word as to hear, but the focus, or they're simply paying attention to these men that are going to speak or that are speaking. That's why they translated it in the King James to give audience to. Their focus was on them. They were paying attention to what they were saying. Okay? Not just a physical hearing, but the idea of they were focusing or paying attention to them. Then number three, the third way that it's used, and this has mostly to do with our subject tonight. It also means understanding. Understanding. Now look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. And this is why you've got to be able to have confidence in somebody and know who you're learning from. As I was studying this out, I'm checking out different people, and one guy says that all three words here, understanding and dull of hearing and hearing, are all the same word. No, they're not. The two, dull of hearing, is that term, braos akouo. That's what the term, that akouo, that's where you get that acoustic from. Then he comes down and he says they hear with their ears. That's akouo, the same word. The word understanding is a totally different word, not anywhere close. It's like Sikamongo or something. I mean, it's a real strange one. But it has no bearing on what they're saying. But this guy's coming out on the internet and telling everybody the same word. You better know who you're listening to, who you're giving audience, and who you're allowing them to feed you with this stuff. Because I'd never listen to that old boy at all. Why? Because he's lying to you. Unless you do some studying on your own, you're just going to suck it up and he's going to take you over in left field. That's how cults are formed. They start with the Word of God, but then they take that left turn. And if you're not aware, you think they're the greatest thing since Skippy peanut butter. And they're not. And they're going to cause destruction. This dull of hearing, that heavy, that dull, it's a metaphor. It's used with difficulty. They're hearing with difficulty. And the whole idea here, it speaks of comprehension, that understanding, as he said in the verse, or that perception. For example, let's say my wife is in the kitchen, and let's say I'm in the bedroom, and my wife says something. And I respond, just a minute, I can't hear you. You ever done that? All the time. Now, why did I respond? Because I heard her. But what did I say? I didn't hear you. I heard someone, something, someone. I recognized that maybe it was her. But I didn't hear a thing she said. So that's the way this term is used. They're hearing, but they're not understanding. They didn't actually hear what was given or what was said. They heard a noise. They recognized that there was something there, but they couldn't put it together. My response indicates that I heard her, but I didn't understand what was being said. In this passage here in Matthew chapter 13, these heard what was said, but either they didn't want to hear or they didn't want to obey, or they didn't understand what was said. Many, many times, we hear what we want to hear. You'll take five people to a political meeting and you'll get five different opinions of what that person said. Why? Because you're going to hear what you want to hear. Republicans are going to hear what they want to hear. The Democrats will hear what they want to hear. And the guy probably didn't say either one. We hear, we listen by what we want to hear. We're prejudiced in what we're doing. So this is the concept here, that understanding. Then number four, in John chapter 5 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, notice, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You have two concepts in this same verse here. One, you've got dead people hearing. Now, I've talked to dead people before. And they didn't respond. Matter of fact, they did not hear me. Why? Because they're dead. Dead people don't hear. So what he's talking about is if they are dead, are they hearing from a spiritual side of it? Is God speaking to their heart? Or are they hearing physically? Does God actually speak to them and they can actually hear physically? We're talking about a resurrection here. Notice the second thing. They receive understanding. They believe or they obey what is being said here. It says the believe, in that verse, they that hear shall live. Those that believe, they've not just heard it, but they've understood the message and received it. So that's a different concept of this term here. They're believing what is heard and obeying that brings life. But a lost dead person that's going to hear the voice of the Lord, they're not going to get life. They're going to get the lake of fire. They're going to get hell forever and ever. Now, a fifth way that it's used is to have regard for. To have regard for in John 9:31. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, he doeth his will, and doeth his will, he heareth him. Now, wait a minute. God hears everything. Does God not hear the voice of a lost man when he's cussing? Sure he does. Hears every conversation. But he says God heareth not sinners. The concept here is to have regard for. He does not have regard for the sinner in what he's saying and what he's praying. That's why he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. You see the word regard there. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. So this concept of hearing also has to that of regard towards. God hears everything, but in that aspect, he will not regard their prayers because they're sinners. They're lost. So as you look at these, the third one is mostly what we're looking at. They don't understand, even though they're hearing something. I heard my wife calling, but I didn't hear a thing that she said. Okay? So understanding the different uses of the word here, that clears up most of our misunderstanding of this seeming problem. The men in Acts chapter 9 and verse 7 literally heard the sound of a voice. Okay? They heard the sound of a voice. But in Acts chapter 22 and verse 9, they no doubt heard it, but they didn't understand what the voice said. Now, there's more. Now we'll have fun. Acts chapter 9 and verse 7 uses the vertical with the Greek noun phone. You ever wonder why they called it phone? Does that ring a bell? Like your phone? Your telephone? That's where they get the term. Why? Because it means voice. you're talking on your voice or your voice box there. Now, we're going to get into some technical terms, so hold on, hold your seat. The verb akouo with the Greek noun phone, which is in the genitive case, means voice. Genitive is to possess or have that close association. When he's talking about this instance, the voice was that close association. That's what they were hearing. They were hearing a sound here. Okay? Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense right now, but it will as we go on. But we know this also by the context. Look back in chapter 9, verse number 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. What did they do? They turned around and looked for what? A donkey? A sheep? No. It says, they heard not a man. They could tell it was a man's voice. When Sherry calls out from the other room, I could tell it was a person's voice. But I couldn't hear a thing what they were saying. So in chapter 9 and verse number 7, they heard a voice. But they didn't recognize. They looked around to see what man was talking. They didn't see one. Now as we get down into verse number, or chapter 22 and verse 9, it uses the verb akouo with the Greek noun phone, which is in the accusative case. One is used in the genitive case. The other is in the accusative case. This is why it's important to study English. If you don't get a hold of some of the basic things of English, it's going to be difficult to study your Bible. Because these same things apply both in English and Greek and French and German and all these different languages, that depends on how the word is being used and how it's written. The tenses, the endings, and all of this, how it's put together. So the accusative case, that's the object of the action. Okay? So in chapter 9 and verse number 7, they heard a voice. And that's what it said. They heard a voice. But then in chapter 22 and verse 9, they didn't hear what the object, the words that voice, they didn't hear that. Just like I didn't hear what my wife said. In that accusative case, that's that object of the action, the understanding of the voice. Now, The genitive construction carries with it a connotation that the men heard the voice, while the accusative construction that the men did not hear the voice with understanding. So now, as you look at both of these, you see the context of one, you see the terms, that not only the Greek terms, but how it is used, and you understand that it's used in different fathoms or different modes. So now you get a better understanding of what the word or what the verse is actually teaching. There is no contradiction at all. You say, well, I don't know Greek tenses, genitive and accusative and aorist and pluperfect and all that stuff. You don't have to. That's why God gave you a pastor. And that's why it's important that you don't just turn on the internet or turn on the radio and just let them fill your brain with stuff. That's why you need to have confidence in somebody if they're going to study and be a student of the Word of God. Because they're going to draw these things out for you. They're going to study this. Now, you can study them as well. I can give you the books and things like this to help you study. And that's why I've got all kind. I got a library. I left most of it over in Africa with my Africans. But that's why we study. And that's why we go to school. And that's why we prepare. Because when you have problems like this, it's very simple. And they don't contradict when you read it the way it says and go back and study the language it was written in. You understand there is no contradiction. One of them heard the noise, looked around, there wasn't any man because they thought it was a man's voice. The other one, they didn't hear the words that were said by that voice. So that way, in the first one, he says they heard it, and the other one, they didn't hear it. They didn't hear it with understanding. That's the way the context is. That's the way the grammar and everything goes, as going back into the Greek. Now, why am I saying all this? It's not just to kill time. It really isn't. There's so much that we could get into, but studying the Bible is serious business. It really is. We think we study the Bible when we just read it. Until you become a student of the Word and really stop and look at it and compare Scripture with Scripture and go in and check some definitions out and let the Bible interpret the Bible instead of some guy on the radio. I've seen so many churches destroyed. I've seen missionaries that have had to be pulled off the field because they started listening to old Joe on the radio, and he sounded good, and they started believing this and going south. I met a missionary when I was over in Africa this time, and it will not surprise me if they don't have to pull him off the field because he's involved in heresy. The stuff that he's putting out is just wrong. My granddaughter called me just the other day. She's in college, going to Bible college. Independent Baptist Church, and said, Grandpa said, I was in class today, and my teacher said some things that kind of disturbed me a little bit. And I said, well, what is it? Well, she said in the passage there in Thessalonians where it says, he who now letteth will let shall then be taken out of the way. I said, okay. She said, I've always been taught and thought that was the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit steps aside, then sin can run rampant. The Holy Spirit has to stay there on the earth because people are getting saved in the tribulation. So he simply steps aside and lets sin have its free course. We're taken out, but the Holy Spirit's not. He is hindering. He who now letteth or hinders will hinder, will let. until he be taken out of the way. It's the Holy Spirit. It's obvious. I've never heard really anybody all through history, and I've gone back to the early church fathers and all these guys and never heard anybody ever go anything different. This guy's teaching that that's Satan. I said, now that makes a whole lot of sense. Satan is hindering the Antichrist. First of all, it doesn't make any common sense whatsoever. Secondly, he would have to be omniscient to know when to step out of the way. And Satan is not omniscient. And they are teaching stuff in colleges, in Bible colleges, in places like this, things you would not believe. When I went to teach missions, one of the best colleges in the States. And I looked in the history of missions, and they was teaching Catholic missions. And I started ripping pages out of the course and rewrote it. Why? Because that's who are you listening to? That's why when pastor takes a few days off, I rejoice. First of all, because I get to preach sometimes. But they need that time off. They need that time away to where their brain can reprogram and revive a little bit. Not just a revival meeting, but I mean they need to get refreshed, because they are day after day after day pouring into this Word of God to where they, not just reading it, they are studying it and laboring in that so they can feed us. So they can give us the truth. I've preached messages probably 100 times. And I go back, if I was going to preach that message tonight, I would go back all this week and I would have gone through that message probably 14 to 15 times again. Why? Because I want to make sure that every word that I teach is biblical, that it's right, that I'm not just throwing out there stuff to fill in or just stuff to sound good. Anybody can use cliches, you know. I can get you going by preaching on things you're not involved in. But boy, if I start preaching on things you're involved in, the amens will stop. You go to preachers' meetings and they just, you know, that's what they do. They just tickle the ears of the preachers that are there. I don't go to them. It's a waste of time, as far as I'm concerned. You, as a Christian, me, as a Christian, God said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When somebody contradicts the Word of God, or they say, like here, that these two things are contradictory, and that means, and I've read all the different posts and stuff like this. I mean, they are slamming Christianity. Christianity is a bunch of junk. Why? Because he says two different stories here in Luke, or in Acts, about this, and so the Bible can't be the Word of God, and boy, they're slamming God, they're slamming Christianity. Wait a minute. If anybody with 2 cents worth of brains would study it, just take the time to look up that word here and just read the verses that there, and you begin to get an understanding, a fuller meaning of the term here, and you know that it can be used, the same word, but it's in different applications. Okay? And then as you go back, and you could get you a Vines or a Strong's or a Young's or one of these books, and they'll give you the Greek term, and you can see how that's used, and whether it's accusative, the genitive, or the aorist, or whatever. And as you look at that, you begin to understand there's no contradiction at all. And you're not going to be down in the mouth on the Word of God and scared to death and your faith. Start questioning your own faith. That's why would you do that? I would that if you find verses that you have a problem with like that, write them down and say, Pastor, I'm having a problem with. Would you just kind of study this out and maybe you can get back to me later? And then I would focus and concentrate on those thousands of verses that we don't have any problem with, that we really understand, that we really know, that we have confidence, and don't be worried about the other few verses like that. You know God's not the author of confusion. You know the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into confusion. You know the Word of God is His Word, and it's pure, purified 7 times, God said. You can have confidence in the Word of God, but you need to have confidence in a man of God that can take you to the Word of God and show you that there's not a problem at all. I don't want your confidence because I'm not the pastor. But I know a lot of people, they the little nitpicky things, and they just begin to, no, wait a minute. If you don't understand something from the Word of God, just write it down. Take it to the pastor, or maybe on Sunday school when he just opens it up for questions. Say, Pastor, what about this? And he may say, well, let me study it out. He may go ahead and give you an answer. He may have already studied it out. But it's really that simple to take something that seemingly in English and on face value is absolutely opposite. But when you go back and study it out, you find out it's not opposite at all. It's saying not only the same thing, but it's complementing each verse that it's saying. You can have confidence in the Word of God. Don't doubt it. Don't get all flustered in your mind and your heart. Don't allow Satan to bring that confusion. If you see confusion starting, just go to the pastor and say, help me out here. And I know him. I think I know him. But he'll help you. He'll take the time. And he'll get you an answer. And if he don't know, he'll probably tell you, I don't know. Let me study it out. And then as you get that answer, that will clear it up, but it'll also give you confidence. And your faith, I think, will be strengthened. So don't let these guys start blowing smoke. Be very careful who you listen to. Now, I'm not trying to be like a Catholic. I'm not trying to say, well, you got to come to us. We're the only people in the world. No, there's some good men out there. But I've seen too many people discouraged and distraught and destroyed because instead of listening to their preacher, they're listening to this guy a little bit and this guy a little bit and this guy a little bit, and they all sound good. But boy, have they destroyed people. And that's not what I want for you. I want you to be solid on this book, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by studying. We do that by getting in the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen? Well, that's all I got. We're early. I cannot believe that. Well, turn to pet. No, no. I told the Lord, when I'm done, I'm done. There's other passages that many of the Muslims and different people will bring up because they see a supposed contradiction. They've written books on some of the things that they think are contradictions. And you know, every one of them, you go back, study it out, and it proves out to be not a problem at all. Have confidence in the Word of God. trust the Lord. And that's why it's good if you can get involved in the Bible Institute. That's why in Sunday school, you know, a lot of people come to church and they don't come to Sunday school. I thank God that you folks are here in Sunday school. Now, I know we're having it Sunday night instead of Sunday morning like we used to. But that shows me that you're wanting to know the Word of God. Never miss a service unless you're dead, dying, or providentially hindered. I understand that. But never miss a service. Why? Because as you're always studying the Word of God, God's going to bless you for it. He really is. He's going to help you. Well, any questions before we leave? I don't have the answer. My wife probably does, but amen. I hope this hasn't confused you. I hope you've been able to see the difference in that. And if there's a little confusion, come to me. I'll be happy to sit down and we'll go through it even a little bit more in depth. But I just wanted to make sure I got through the material and stuff and you was able to see that there really isn't a contradiction. One, they heard the noise. They heard a voice. They couldn't tell. Over here, they didn't understand. And the context and the terminology and the genders of the basic words proves that out. It can't be anything else. So, amen? Let's pray.